Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Could you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the silly permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live, the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender. Quicken Loans, supply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. It's a Trash Tuesday, everybody. So hit us back with what you're trashing, either on Twitter or on the phones. We'll do those coming up here at 40 minutes past the hour. Trash Tuesday at 40 minutes past the hour. Next hour, 1 hour from now, Pete Thamel from San Antonio, senior writer, college basketball, Yahoo Sports, on the impressive night and tournament for Jay Wright and Villanova. Before we go any further, I do want to give and announce the grand prize to Pete the Body Bilotti for winning our men's bracket. He had Villanova winning the whole thing. He not only was first amongst the staff here on the show, meaning he had immunity from eating the hot salsa death by salsa, which I hold in my hand right now, but he also won the whole shebang with all the listeners as well. We had a lot of listeners that jumped in on this and said, thanks for having us involved, and I appreciate you guys getting involved. Hopefully you had a good time with it. I will run through later on in the show some of the high rankers, the best listener brackets that we had as part of our challenge. But I will present to Pete the Body Bilotti a reflective bag that he can bring his groceries home in that says Four Imprint Gladiator Reflective Accent Tote. You can bring your groceries home with that. Inside, there's a couple of things for you. There is a pen.
Oh, I could use a pen. Yes, thank you.
Around here, pens are hard to come by.
It clicks. I like
clicks. Also, you'll get a water bottle.
All right, yeah.
Okay. Refresh Clutch water bottle, 20 ounces.
Always looking for one of those.
Very nice. You can see it's still sealed, so nobody's used this before. And a promotional T-shirt. Now, this T-shirt has a saying on it from a famous TV show.
You win.
You might remember Chris Hansen hosting To Catch a Predator, and you might remember his signature slogan, have a seat. So there you go. That's your T-shirt.
Perfect for me.
There's your T-shirt. Have a seat. Okay? So Pete the Body Bilotti, congratulations. You, my friend, are the winner of a DA Show March Madness prize pack. And when you see Mraz roll his eyes, it means he's jealous.
He wanted one.
No, I am not. You literally took whatever garbage you got from free the last few Super Bowl or Final Four trips, threw it in a tote bag and said, here, Pete, you won something. Get happy. Clean this trash out of my apartment. You gave him a pen and a water bottle. Woo-hoo.
Never appreciative.
T-shirt that says, have a seat.
I think that's a garbage pack for a guy who won a trip.
Well, what did you provide for the winnings?
Yeah, Sean.
I did not. I provided setting up the bracket. Which we had some technical trouble
barely
with.
Got yep. There.
Barely got that in. Barely got that in. Yep. There you go. Trash Tuesday's coming up, and wait till you see what fire I spit at Mraz, because he's got a lot coming to him. So last night, Jay Wright wins his second national championship in 3 years. And I think last night, Jay Wright etched his place in history and put himself in the Basketball Hall of Fame. Jay Wright is an amazing head coach for this reason. He somehow straddles the line comfortably between grounded and humble and elite, sophisticated, and intelligent. You know, usually it's one of the two. A guy that's kind of grounded, a guy's guy, chews you up, spits you out, humble, self-deprecating, is a guy kind of like Bob Huggins. Huggy Bear wears windbreakers, probably gets his hair cut in the mall. Huggy Bear probably eats at the fast food joints you eat at, as evidenced by his protruding belly. He's just like any of us.
Itchy nipple chub, bro.
And then you have the elites like Coach K that you know are nothing like us. And they speak with, they are spoken of in reverential tones. They work at or have coached at elite institutions. And kind of like you can't really quite touch them. A Rick Pitino, a Coach K, a Roy Williams. But somehow, the magic to Jay Wright is, Jay Wright wears Armani suits, looks as clean and as put together as anybody on a court, not a hair out of place, has a faint whiff of George Clooney on him, but yet he's completely grounded and normal without any airs of arrogance. And that is such a tough balance to walk. By virtue of having those two parts of your personality, you get to lead anybody, and they'll trust you. Because the person that goes, "Now, I'm not going to be sold a bill of goods. You can't get one over on me," is going to relate to the fact that he's grounded. He doesn't think that he's any more special than anybody else. He's not country club foo-foo selling you a bill of goods. And so somebody who desires a guy that's just normal, that you can trust, that can have a one-on-one relationship, a connection with you, will fall for Jay Wright. And I say that in a good way. But somebody that needs an air of sophistication that says, "Hey, you're making $5 million a year. You're running a corporation. You've got to be in front of banquet halls, alumni groups. You've got to be in front of the assembled media every day. You've got to be on the sideline representing an entire school and how we are viewed through the larger prism in the national sports landscape and conscientiousness. We need somebody that gives off an air of being able to play golf, being able to drive a luxury vehicle, living in a nice house. We need somebody that can speak to a donor that's going to donate $1 million, as well as be able to speak to the fan that's paying 20 bucks for his seat." And Jay Wright, no matter where you are on the socioeconomic spectrum or what your personality side is, you can fall for Jay Wright. And I think that's why players really do trust him. And that's why he has built what feels to me to be a very real, genuine, authentic program. I said to myself, and this is just how badly cynical I am when it comes to college athletics, as Villanova is assembling on that podium last night, I said, you know, Villanova strikes me as one of the programs that doesn't cheat. And this is just where it's come to. Now, I have no evidence either way. We haven't had major scandals. We haven't had the FBI probe revolving around Villanova. But there just feels to be, and I don't want to say wholesomeness because that's a terrible word to use in 2018 for college basketball. But there is a family that feels authentic there. Ed Pinckney, Randy Foy, guys that have come years ago, either before Wright was on staff or after Wright was on staff, are all saying this is what we've built together. And you see and you listen to Jay Wright speak, and you can trust him. Now, maybe I'll be proven wrong sometime down the road. That's always a possibility. But when I hear Rick Pitino speak, I know he's lying to me. I know it. I think he knows it. When I hear Coach K speak, I know he's condescendingly talking down to me. When I hear Roy Williams speak, I know he's giving me a fraudulent dadgummit because he wants to give off that vibe. But if he's not saying dadgummit publicly, behind the scenes, he's mother effing bombing everybody on that staff or on that floor, what have you. I know he's dropping four-letter words. I know he's using tough language. And it ain't dadgummit. So many of these guys are just not real. And it just feels like Jay Wright is real. But that Jay Wright, for as prim and as proper, as sophisticated as he is, you could bring him to a wedding of two people from tons of money, with ultimate wealth, with high socio status, people from business and economics and education all there, and you know Jay Wright would be comfortable. And you could bring him to a high school gym with a bunch of public school kids, maybe families that don't have much, and you know he'd be comfortable there. And that's such a tough balance. And you'd trust him in both. You know, Coach Cal is interesting because Calipari, you know, everybody will tell you, he can walk into the hood and he's completely at ease. And you know you can put him in front of a Fortune 500 group to do a discussion, to do a talk, and he'll be completely at ease. There is, though, an element of salesmanship to Cal that you don't know what's true and what's not. He's so good at sales that you just don't know where the sale begins or ends. But Jay Wright just seems to exist in this rarefied small strata, which is real, which is authentic, which is grounded, but which is also intelligent and sophisticated and elite. That's a rare combination. And you look at what Jay Wright did. Jay Wright took over a program that had fallen on very mediocre times. They'd won the 1985 national championship. They were part of the Blue Bloods of the Big East, the original Big East. And then they kind of got passed by in the 90s. And that's when UConn, Syracuse had surged to the top of the Big East. And Villanova had become a middle ground team. Georgetown had always been around there, but after the 80s and 90s, really after AI, the difficulty getting back, Villanova had fallen by the wayside. And Jay Wright takes over that program in 2001, and he does not make a tournament in his first 3 years. And people are asking, hey, this guy's got fancy suits on, but he doesn't get it. He's not from Philly. He's from Bucks County. And they stayed the course, and they trusted him. And he finally made that run a couple of years later. He made a Final Four, I think it was 2009. And that started because they were trustworthy and they were patient with him to build what they have now. And when he was exiting in the round of 32s and not making it out of the first weekend, they still stuck by him to where he wins a national championship 2 years ago and has now built a machine. Remember this, administrators, athletic directors, chancellors, and everybody else that is impatient in 2018. They need it now. They need it now. They need it now. If you've got a guy that you believe in, stay with him. Patience is a virtue. Jay Wright became a Hall of Famer last night. When we come back, why is Jim Mora Jr. consistently taking digs at Josh Rosen? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
We are the glitch in the simulation.
You are a giant pile of trash.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Will Brinson, always making me feel terrible. But he wasn't talking about me.
A giant pile of trash.
But it's perfect for a Trash Tuesday, so get in your trashings on Twitter, DA on CBS. Send them our way, and I will read them on the air. It's a Trash Tuesday here on the DA Show. Also, you can dial us up at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, DA on CBS. And the Player of the Week brought to you by Grainger. Taking a look at the one who got it done this week, it's Dante DiVincenzo, of course. Last night, the sophomore guard comes off the bench. The Big Ragu scoring a career-high 31 points in a legendary March moment. He led the Wildcats in minutes played last night, 37 of the 40. Jay Wright rides his hot hand, which was perfect because Jalen Brunson was in foul trouble. 5 of 7 from three-point range, 6 of 10 from the free throw line, had that incredible two-handed block as well, was just all over the place. And what's amazing is that he was one of only 2 Wildcats to score in double digits. That's how balanced that offensive attack was. Dante DiVincenzo goes down in history as that night he went off. Remember that night in the national championship game? The Big Ragu night? The DiVincenzo night? Remember that night? That's what last night was. He had himself a night. And Villanova was by far the singular dominant force in this year's NCAA tournament. In college football, I don't really get why Jim Mora Jr., former head coach at UCLA, keeps taking digs at Josh Rosen. I really don't understand it. I suppose there's a part of this that should be refreshing because so many coaches just simply love up and wax poetic about every one of their players that you really don't know what is truth and what is fiction. But Josh Rosen's likely to be a top 3 pick in the NFL draft. I can't see him getting past the Jets at number 3. And yet Jim Mora keeps calling into question all these things about Josh Rosen. Now, if that he's a millennial and you need to keep his concentration on football because he's got other outside interests, as though this is now some type of scarlet letter. Oh, we can't have football players that are interested in anything else. They need to be foot soldiers and blind and deaf and dumb. They cannot have thoughts of their own because, oh, that just opens up a terrible can of worms.
Like every young guy going into the league, the challenges, I think, for a quarterback are, do you understand what it's going to take to separate yourself from guys that are really good to really great, that work ethic, that commitment to the game, that ability to put aside distractions. You know, you're out of the house for the first time. You're away from some structure. You have to create it yourself. So just like everybody else, Josh has to be able to demonstrate that he can do that. And if he can, he will be great. And if he can't, he won't be.
I find it really interesting because Jim Mora Jr. keeps putting this stuff out there publicly. It'd be one thing if he was talking to scouts, general managers, other coaches. It's another thing to be talking about this publicly. And I wonder if there isn't just an inner resistance or resentment to Josh Rosen that they didn't get more done when they were there together and that led to Jim Mora Jr. getting the axe. Chip Kelly's now the new head coach at UCLA. And part of this just feels like a resentment that maybe Josh Rosen wasn't always bought in to UCLA, to the scheme, to the offense, to whatever, and that has rubbed him the wrong way, and that's why he's going out of his way to keep talking about this. I mean, he's kind of also speaking out of both sides of his mouth by saying one thing and then kind of covering it up and saying, what I said wasn't so bad. But anytime you label somebody a quote-unquote millennial, that is never usually a compliment. I just think there's bad blood there because he got canned, he got the zig, he got the axe, and he probably looks at Josh Rosen as the reason why that they had unfulfilled potential with the Bruins last season. Here's what I'll tell you. I think Josh Rosen is the best quarterback in the draft. And I also think it's so archaic and Neanderthal thinking to believe that players, athletes, can't have interests outside of the sport that they play. I mean, am I not allowed to have an interest outside of hosting a sports talk radio show? Am I not supposed to be a balanced individual, a balanced human being? But in football, we're not asking for that. In sports, oh no, you got to be all in all the time. And I get that there is a pressure that you need to succeed, that you need to commit, that you've got to be all in and bought in. But you know what? You can be bought in and think other things and like other things and have outside interests. I think it's so silly that we get so scared at guys that might be, let's face it, too smart for football, too smart for sports. That Josh Rosen, he might not play through concussions. Should he? I mean, is that what we're looking for? He might ask why. But that's what Jim Mora said. He's a millennial. He wants to know why. So you're telling me Tom Brady has never asked why we run that play? Peyton Manning never wanted to know the why of the offense? I just gave him the playbook and he just ran it. He never asked any questions. Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers and Peyton Manning and Drew Brees get inside a scheme and need to know why. But Jim Mora's acting as though that's a bad thing for Josh Rosen. I mean, he needs to know why. How about spinning it off? It's great because he wants to know why. We don't just hand him a playbook and he goes, okay, coach, I got it. He wants to know the intricacies of it. Well, why are we running it like this? And the fact is Jim Mora doesn't like that because he's a college coach. And when you're a college athlete, you're not supposed to ask questions. It's amazing. It really is amazing. There's a story about a five-star college basketball recruit by the name of Romeo Langford, who was originally looking at Kentucky and then played on the under-19 Team USA that was coached by Calipari. Didn't like the way that Calipari was utilizing him and said, you know what, I'm not going to Kentucky. We are scratching them off the list. And now he's looking at a couple of other schools, Kansas, Vanderbilt, one or two other schools. Five-star kid. His father and mother, both in the picture, both former athletes, encouraged Romeo to try new things, try different things. And that includes his brothers and sisters as well. And so he took up the trumpet. And they were asked if they wanted to get engaged in theater and other things. And I could already see the headlines or already see what is being said. Oh, that Romeo Langford's a handful. Why? Well, I mean, he likes the trumpet. In other words, he's too smart for basketball. I mean, what, he's going to get into theater? And this is just amazing. It's just amazing. Josh Rosen comes from a wealthy, privileged background. And because of it, he's got thoughts, perhaps, and people go, well, you know, he's going to ask why. You've got Romeo Langford, who comes from a family who encouraged him to try new things. Well, you know what, he's going to be a handful because he needs to know why. It's amazing that these things become criticisms of our athletes. And then we wonder why our athletes are one-dimensional. We demand our athletes don't have political thoughts, certainly don't have political thoughts during games. Why can't you just play football and stuff? You know, we don't need to hear about all this other stuff. Be one-dimensional. That's what we demand of you. Because anything else just gets in the way of our entertainment. It's so weird. We want balance in everybody's life. We want people to be open-minded, to try new things, to be cultured. But athletes, oh, no. Stay in your box. Josh Rosen wants to know why. And that is a criticism. I mean, I don't know. If I had the pressure of being the number two draft pick overall, the number one draft pick overall, and saving a franchise at the quarterback position, I might want to know why we're running 3rd and 14 that route as well. I don't know. Maybe. I might want to know why. Because if I fail, I'm the bum and I'm the bust, and I'm on every BuzzFeed list for the next 50 years of the biggest NFL draft pick busts of all time. But hey, he needs to know why. Oh, my God. Jim Mora Jr., take a hike, please. Everybody that thinks like that in sports, take a hike. Kids are supposed to ask why. They're students! When we come back, Trash Tuesday. Mraz is in the crosshairs. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
A no-sweat pants at work zone.
Would you get off of Rich Ackerman? Keep Andrew Bogish's name out your mouth, Bradley.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, you can take the DA show with you wherever you go on your phone. That little thing in your pocket carries the DA show live every single day. You can listen to it on the CBS Sports app, the TuneIn app, the Radio.com app, or Apple Music. You can also watch us at WatchDA.com. A little programming note here, a little technological note.
I'm electronically ignorant.
We just refurbished the website, daoncbs.com, cbssportsradio.com, watchda.com. Corporate went in there. The digital gremlins went in there. The elves did their thing. It looks great. It's awesome. But for some, watchda.com is not instantly loading on your phone. Android users, you should find an even better WatchDA.com experience now. But for iPhone users such as myself, there was a little glitch. You've got to go in to your Safari settings and enable pop-ups once. If your pop-ups are disabled like mine was, it's a broken link. But if you enable pop-ups once and just type in WatchDA.com, you'll get the feed. And then you can go right in there after that and disable pop-ups again. That at least, I guess, establishes a cookie, and so that it'll end up working after that. So that's one way if you're not being able to get it, the new one on your iPhone. But I think the new website's great. I think the WatchDA.com stream is great. They've upgraded everything for us for a better experience, so hopefully you guys are enjoying it. The bracket challenge that we held here on the DA show had a lot of you guys jump in and get involved. Moose tweets in, I took 4th in the bracket challenge. Not bad for having never done one. Thanks for letting the listeners join in. Got me watching more games than I ever have, and it was a fantastic tournament. I'm hooked. Enjoy the salsa, DA.
You need to eat like this. You need to eat like this.
How about that? Longtime hardcore D-alien, Moose, had never done a bracket challenge before. Glad to get you guys involved in that. I feel like you got to do one of those. It's the American way. Daniel tweets in, if you are giving out any prizes for finishing in the top 3, I would like to see Mraz suspended for a day. Figured I would ask now instead of waiting my Trash Tuesday and wasting it on him.
Had enough of that clown, too.
Pete the Body Bilotti comes in number 1. He wins the whole thing altogether. That includes listeners as well, so nice job by the body. Ricky Fuller came in number 2. He also had Villanova winning the whole thing. Daniel came in number 3. Daniel Buck, he also had Villanova. Moose was at number 4. He also had Nova as well. Daniel at number 5 had Nova. Mike Carver, producer of the Scott Farrell Extravaganza, is going to join the PGP today with Mraz on side B to discuss how he hates Robbie Rosenhaus. He came in at number 6. Dennis at number 7. Dan at number 8. Luis Gonzalez, not that Luis Gonzalez, at number 9. And Jonathan at number 10, all of them had Villanova except for Luis, who had Michigan winning the whole thing. I ended up coming in 6th to last out of everybody, although, or 7th to last or so, but the bottom 3 didn't even fill out a bracket, so that's a problem. Chad came in dead last. He had Michigan State winning the whole thing. Tim, 2nd to last, had Purdue. Michael had Cincinnati. I was next up with Virginia the number one overall seed that went down in the 1-16 matchup. The 1-16 matchup as my champion went down to their first game, and that made me the loser of all losers. I will now have to eat death by salsa. We're deciding what day to do it this week. We're trying to get Robbie Rosenhaus in here as well because that's who Andrew Bogish selected as his victim of the death by salsa. So the day that we could get Robbie in here, we'll both do that. Can't wait.
I don't know if this is news or not, DA, but news is my role on this show. And the Ghost Ballers just won the sixth pick in the Big Three draft lottery.
How about that?
That's huge because there's going to be good quality players available at number six in the Big Three draft. I think there's really good players 1 through 9 or so. So you're going to get a quality pick for the Ghost Ballers at number six.
But your second, when you come back around to you, is where the intrigue begins, you think?
Now, what's also interesting is Tri-State just took home number 5.
Yes.
And that's an even better slot than number 6 by 1 slot. You know, this is going to be a really interesting year for the Big Three, and we'll do plenty of Big Three draft coverage as we make our way closer.
Don't laugh. I do have Kenyon Martin booked next week. After the Big Three draft, they pitched it to me.
But we need Woj or somebody else to really go inside the draft day machinations of the Big Three. Who's going to pull off the deal? Who has the Brooklyn Nets pick in the Big Three draft?
It's certainly not the Nets.
All right, time for Trash Tuesday.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, lead us off. Who are you trashing?
Speaking of ridiculous things in sports, I woke up today, get on the train, do a little reading before I come in, and what do I get engulfed with in my Twitter timeline? That's right, I do read.
Wow.
Not one, not two, but what felt like 17 preseason top 25 ranking articles from every college basketball writer we know and love. And I know they have a job to do, but the Nets haven't even been cut down for 12 hours. You have no idea who's actually entering the NFL, the NBA draft and who's not.
Or the Big Three draft.
Or the Big Three draft. Does anybody need a preseason top 25 right now? These are the same people who will give you an NFL power rankings a week after the Super Bowl before having an NFL free agent being signed. Enough with the preseason top 25s until you know it's the preseason.
You've been trashed.
So premature rankings, you're against.
Yeah, you just have no basis for them. It's ridiculous. Like, those rankings are going to have nothing to do with what happens come November.
College basketball rosters, what you're saying, that aren't recruits. There's recruits that are still floating around out there?
Well, I'm sure there's some last-minute recruits, but you don't know who's officially leaving yet. I mean, you can have an idea of who's probably leaving. Like, we know DeAndre Ayton is leaving. He's already declared that, but we don't know officially who's bouncing for the NBA, who might be leaving early. There's a lot of movement that can happen, you know?
So the day after the Giants season ends, you're not wondering where they end up ranking the next year?
No, I'm celebrating a championship, and I'm sure a Villanova fan doesn't care where they rank next
okay.
year.
Pete the Body Bilotti, who are you trashing?
Well, I'm trashing the people that constantly need to reference Seinfeld whenever they talk about anything.
Oh.
I love Seinfeld. The show is great. We know it's a cult classic. Everyone loves it.
Uh-huh.
But I don't need to hear everything about Kramer and about the Soup Man every time I talk.
The Soup Nazi.
Whatever it is. I don't need to hear
about
it.
Pete doesn't use that
word. Every time something's being discussed, it has to be a reference to Seinfeld. Oh, this is what Kramer did last week. This is just like Jerry when he walked into a room with Newman. I mean, come on. Let's get some more material, new material, and stop referencing Seinfeld all the time.
Taking out the trash.
So I feel like Mraz and I are pretty bad.
Do it all the time.
Offenders of this.
I think Mraz a little more than you. But
Is this happening around the newsroom a lot?
No, I actually hear it a lot during play-by-play in baseball.
Oh.
I hear that a lot.
Well, that's very specific. You're hearing a lot of Seinfeld references in play-by-play of baseball
games.
Since last Thursday?
No, I think for a little while, beyond last Thursday. But yeah, you guys aren't as big offenders as others. But I'm getting tired of it. Enough.
Okay, yeah. Would you prefer like Friends references or
just
Hill
new
Street
material
Blues,
wrestling?
Okay. Like, what happens if I just kept doing Urkel references? Like, did I do that?
Maybe once, but then after a while, like, enough of that, too.
Okay. Andrew Bogish, who are you trashing?
My four-year-old son, Jake. Thanks for asking, Dia. Yeah, it's about time. So, for some reason, he developed, he thought it was funny to say recently that I had a secret girlfriend. Now, this went on for 4 days before he said that the secret girlfriend was my wife. Okay, because he doesn't understand girlfriends or anything like that. However, until he made the second connection, I think a small part of my wife was wondering if I actually was, like, sneaking women into the house and wasn't around.
Is that right?
So is that so?
Well, maybe I should have gotten one because I was going to get the heat for having one. I might as well have gotten the benefit of having one.
Yeah.
But there is no secret girlfriend. Let me get
that
straight. Yes.
That's good.
And Jake
No NDA, no non-disclosure agreement.
No, and Jake knows nothing about relationships yet at four. I don't know when I'm supposed to actually discuss this with him. But secret girlfriends are not to be trifled with.
You're so trashy.
You have to teach Jake never bring up girlfriends, ever.
That's a bad idea.
In any sense. Suddenly your wife's going through your phone.
Yeah.
Checking your tweets.
Correct.
Checking the activity on our front door because it's like an electronic alarm. Yeah, bad scene. It's a bad 96 hours.
She's breaking open that electronic nest.
He was telling like other parents because he's like, there's like sometimes he gets picked up from school by somebody else and he said it in the car and they're like, huh? Daddy has what?
That might be on you, though. That might be on you because you're not teaching him specifically mommy, daddy is different than boyfriend, girlfriend.
Well, I didn't think I had to at four. I didn't think I was going to manufacture ghost women.
Like ghost ballers. Where do they pick in the big three draft? But let me ask you, when do you have the birds or the bees conversation?
Now, apparently.
Now. Yeah. Like right now at four.
So on Thursday's show, when do you guys have a free segment? When is sweeps?
I never got the birds and the bees conversation. Did you, Bogish?
My dad gave me a Playboy on my 18th birthday. My dad, I could have used this like 3 years ago, for being honest. Not that I'm Brad Pitt, but it's a little late.
At 18, the ship has sailed.
Seriously,
okay?
Dad.
You're a little late on the uptake.
A little bit.
At 13, all my buddies were getting the conversation. I was like, oh, God, please, I just don't want the conversation. Please, Dad, don't give me the conversation. So I lived in fear every single day. He never approached me at the conversation. So I was raised by wolves, apparently. Mraz, did you ever get one?
No, my dad went to sit me down. I could see the look of fear in his eyes. I looked at him. I knew it was coming. I said, I know. He goes, good. Got up and left. And that was it. Don't tell your mother. Say we had to talk.
I know. Good. Let's watch the Giants.
Exactly.
All right, Bilotti, did you get the talk?
I did not get the talk, but it was something similar to what Mraz's father did with me.
This is amazing. So we're 0-4 on the Birds of the Beast talk. Our parents were terrible.
We made out all right, though.
We were fine. Well, kind of. I think we're probably socially stunted.
You did date a girl with a tail in high school, so I don't know.
I don't want to know.
Well, I have to trash the one and only Mraz because he is the fraud of the highest degree. The only bigger fraud than somebody that calls somebody else a fraud is somebody who calls somebody else a fraud but then backtracks on it based on the heat that he or she might get.
By golly, Miss Molly.
You know my frustration with Mraz calling out Sister Jean, a 98-year-old nun. Here is a woman that has dedicated her life to discipline, to religion, to the church, to education, to students. This is a woman that has done everything to not be about herself. She has lived the life that basically brings the least amount of self-indulgence into it. And Mraz calls her out. This is the king of self-indulgence. Calls her out for being a fraudulent fan for leaving the game early when they were losing the other night. Never mind that it was because she is in a wheelchair and they had to wheel her to go embrace the players in the tunnel as they came off of the floor. So here's Mraz, of course, calling out Sister Jean like the bozo that he is and does it over Twitter saying she's a bigger fraud than Marlins man. He tweets this out on Saturday night. It picks up a little bit of steam and is then cited in an online article yesterday by the one and only Britt McHenry. She was the one that got into it with the traffic parking attendant and was recently dismissed from ESPN and has now kind of become a political commentator. She uses Mraz's tweet in the story to rip those who are ripping Sister Jean. Now, it bothers me that I have to agree with Britt McHenry on any type of humanitarian level, but she's right. Anybody that trashes Sister Jean is a disgrace. Meraz deletes the tweet. He calls out Sister Jean as a fraud, then gets attention for it and deletes it. So he wanted to elicit a reaction from followers, but then when he got the reaction, he hid in the bunker from the reaction. There is no bigger fraud than the guy that calls out the fraud and then hides from the reaction by calling out the fraud.
Hot trash.
The ultimate fraudulent, spineless, gutless chump of all chumps is the guy that calls out the 98-year-old nun for being a fraud and then deletes the tweet when it gets attention. Is that he can't even stand behind calling out Sister Jean. What a fraud he is. The biggest fraud of all time. A disgrace at every level. From the soul to the bone to the flesh to the mind, he's a disgrace at every level. Your toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Everybody, there's a quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Do you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all at geico.com. The murder is complete. Meraz is dead. Long live Sister Jean. Pete Thamel, next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.